In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. Today, in our epistle, we heard perhaps one of the more disobeyed, or at least ignored, commandments in all of Scripture. And we know the usual ones: don't kill, don't steal, don't lie, don't cheat, don't envy, love God, love your neighbor. And while we all from time to time may fail at these, at least in general, we are trying. But the commandment we heard in the epistle reading that Carrie read for us today from Ephesians, do we even make the slightest attempt to follow it? It said, "Speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody also to the Lord." Speak to one another in songs. Speak to one another in songs. When was the last time outside of church that you spoke to somebody by singing? Now, in church, we do it all the time. I mean, just this morning, I've done it dozens of times for you. I sang to you, "In peace, let us pray to the Lord." And you sang back, "Well, to God, Lord, have mercy." I sang, "Let us attend, let us pay attention." And hopefully, you did so. But what about outside of liturgy? And notice it didn't just say sing to the Lord, but first it said speak to one another in songs, in spiritual songs. Is there a place for us to sing to one another as our means of speaking? And how do we do that without just being, you know, humorous, being a joke, or sounding like, you know, a Broadway play or a Disney movie where they're going along talking and all of a sudden everyone breaks into song for a while and then they stop as if nothing had happened and go on? I mean, can we speak to one another in song in a way that actually means something, that actually makes life more abundant? Well, after thinking about it for a while, and the more I thought about it, the more examples I came up with the ways that we might indeed sing to one another that's not just a joke, but is indeed spirit-filled. And maybe it's not quite as ignored a commandment as I first thought, but something that we can build on. I want to start with an example from Serbia, way back in World War II. Squad of Serbian soldiers were being driven back, and one of them was shot and presumed dead. And with little time to spare, his buddies quickly dug a battlefield grave and laid him in it. Before covering the body with dirt, as is our Orthodox custom, they began to sing "Memory Eternal." In Serbian, of course, they sang "Memory Eternal." And wouldn't you know, the soldier in the grave hears the singing. And it turns out he was not, in fact, dead, but still alive. And he begins to weep. One of his buddies notices the tears streaming down his cheek, and his life is saved. Now, here's a man for whom music quite literally saved his life. If his buddies hadn't sung to him, if they had just recited prayers, perhaps he would not have made it. But because they sang to him, "May your memory be eternal," he had life and had it more abundantly. You know, when someone has a birthday in our culture, we don't just say happy birthday. Or we say happy birthday, but we don't just say happy birthday. We sing it. Can you imagine going up to somebody and saying, "Happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday, dear Jake, happy birthday to you." You know, his birthday's this week. We can't imagine saying that. Singing our message noticeably changes and amplifies it to something of celebration and something of joy. See, we are doing that. In the Orthodox tradition, we sing, "God grant you many years," for all kinds of occasions. And the phrase "many years" doesn't just refer to this world, but to eternal life. The true many years is the many years of eternal life. And we sing "many years" not just in church, but in dining rooms, in reception halls, in our homes. We do get the music out there. But it's the singing and the making melody that are the heart of this greeting. There's something about melody and there's something about the gift of music that is so deeply of heaven that we are commanded by Scripture to address one another this way because it brings more abundant life. And even if you're not a very good singer by earthly standards, you still capture and share something of heaven by doing it, by just singing, by getting it out there. Now, little kids, they're born with it. They sing quite eagerly. They sing eagerly from as soon as they can say something, from as soon as they can make sounds. And parents sing to their babies. In fact, babies are created to respond to their parents' singing so much so that sometimes they're not soothed until the parent sings. It's like God programmed them to get us to keep singing even after we're adults. But too often we feel the need to kind of outgrow that somehow. And that's really a shame. It's really a shame to lose that music. And I think it's gotten worse as we've become more modern. I mean, before there was TV, there was family sing-alongs. You know, if you were wealthy enough to have a piano, you might have someone on the piano. Otherwise, families sung together. You know, lovers used to sing love songs to one another that sometimes they'd even compose. Now we listen to somebody else's love song, either on our radios or more often just in our earbuds all by ourselves. But music is indeed all around us. I mean, I'm not denying that. Everything from 20-minute progressive rock epics all the way down to jingles for insurance companies that are designed to get stuck in your head, music is there. It's there. The real question is, though, how much singing do you do? How much singing do you do for others? How much music do you let out of your soul for somebody else? And a little bit of singing really can make a difference in the right circumstances. I hear this story from priests all the time. It's the same the world over. We go to a nursing home or a hospital to visit someone who might be dying or who might have dementia or is otherwise somehow suffering. And the priest talks to the loved one with maybe limited or even no response. But watch what happens when the priest starts to chant Holy God. You know, when we chant Holy God, wouldn't you know, 9 times out of 10, maybe more than that, the person starts crossing themselves. Or when we sing Of Thy Mystical Supper, the patient is right there not only crossing themselves, sometimes singing along. That music brings back the gates of heaven to that person, even in their suffering condition. Music makes an impact because music opens the gate of heaven just a little wider. Now for you, if singing to someone still seems just a little bit awkward, maybe a little bit jokey, first of all, the humor might be part of that by design because there is joy in singing. But here's another tip. The commandment said, speak to one another in songs and make melody to the Lord. If you feel too awkward to sing to someone else at first, at least you can start by singing to God. There's nothing to stop you from singing to God. Sing a prayer before meals instead of just saying it. You know, we sing our prayer before meal at church. Why not do that at home? Sing one or two of your daily prayers instead of just saying them and see if it doesn't change the quality of that prayer. You know, make a melody to the Lord and see if the gate of heaven doesn't open just a little wider. If what we do in church is a guide and a light for how we live in the world, one of the most basic lessons is found in that angelic nature of music. We sing it here not only because it's wonderful here, but we sing it here as an example for what we ought to be doing out there. The commandments of Scripture are not designed to be burdensome, but to make life more abundant. And today's commandment is a big part of that. Speak to one another in songs and sing and make melody to the Lord. Amen.
Amen.